We're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, and find, if you would, just for the beginning of the message, James chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and James chapter 3. Proverbs 3, we'll begin reading here in verse 27. Just two verses tonight. Notice the Bible says, Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee.
Amen.
Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your goodness. It's a joy to be in your house, to gather with God's people,
Amen.
To pray together. And Lord, as I heard the prayer requests, look at the prayer list, it can be, humanly speaking, overwhelming. But we know not for thee.
Amen.
We know you're still on the throne,
yes. Thank you, Lord.
That all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
And so I pray tonight as we move forward in the service that you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lord, we recognize without you we can do nothing. I can't preach without you. We can't listen without you. But that one thing, Lord, we need to yield to thee is our will. And so I pray tonight as we hear the preaching of your word and the truths from the Bible, that whatever you prompt in our lives to change or to do, that we would indeed do that. Please help us remove any distractions from our minds and from this room tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, some time back, of course, we've had some guest preachers in this kind of with Jubilee and Anniversary Sunday and everything. But some time back, we began this series that I've entitled, if you notice at the top of your handout, Wisdom from Above. Not from beneath.
Amen.
Not from horizontally.
Right.
But from above.
Amen.
And the idea of this series was taken from James chapter 3 in verse 13, if you'd look there, where we read, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Shall I say none of us?
Amen.
Not without God.
Right.
Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Amen.
This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Notice verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Amen.
And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's where I've got the title of the series from, and we're doing this because we need wisdom from above. We must have it.
Praise the Lord.
In the day that we live in, we must, any day for that matter.
Amen.
We must have wisdom from above. You see, the purpose of this series is to enable God's people, those of us that are saved, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've been redeemed, we've been converted, to live a life not based on our own wisdom,
Amen.
Not based on the world's wisdom,
right.
Not based on people's ideas or perceptions or opinions, but based on God's wisdom.
Amen.
We must have it. Because it's only when God's people live by God's wisdom that you and I will experience that blessed, abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ promised to all of us, if we want it. You know, we live in a world that thinks that they can solve the world's problems and people's problems without God. That's what we're seeing all around us. Listen to me. You cannot.
Amen.
You cannot. It is absolutely impossible.
Right.
And what we're seeing all around us, the confusion, the chaos that is there, is the fruit of their vain attempts to do so.
Right.
And so we as God's people have to operate with God's wisdom. That's why God says in His Word, Proverbs 4 and verse 5, we'll get there in a little bit, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. God is telling all of His children, get wisdom. That's what you need more than anything else.
Amen.
Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. I thought money, that's where you go wrong, you see.
Right.
I thought things were the principal. No, wisdom is, God says, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, wisdom can be simply defined as this. Taking the truths from God's Word and putting them into practice. Not just reading them, but accepting them and putting them into practice in our lives.
Amen.
And true wisdom comes only from God.
Praise the Lord.
Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God is the source of all wisdom.
Praise the Lord.
Don't miss the connection of the dots here. And since the Bible is God's words,
Amen.
The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to us. Again, it's not everything that God knows, but everything that God wants us to know. Then God's Word is the source of all wisdom. Don't miss the connection between God and His Word. You cannot, we cannot, we must not separate the two.
Amen.
Well, I obey God, I just don't obey some things He says in the Bible. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth.
Amen.
And there's no better book of the Bible to look at for wisdom than the book of Proverbs. Can I challenge you to perhaps do this? To read, and many have done this, but to read a chapter a day for the next 30 days out of Proverbs.
Amen.
You may want to do that on a continual basis. Many people do. Why do they do that? Because we need God's wisdom.
Amen.
And the Proverbs is the book of wisdom. So here back in Proverbs chapter 3, if you're not back there, go back there. We see King Solomon, the human penman of Proverbs, penning to his son. By the way, God to us, using Solomon here. And he's penning some very practical instructions concerning the subject of, look at verse 27, withhold not, not withholding. Notice we read, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Excuse me. So tonight, I'd like to preach on the subject. Notice the wisdom of not withholding.
Amen.
You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, hopefully by the end, you won't be asking that same question. You know, often when we think of living the Christian life, we think of things that Christians should not do. Things that Christians should not participate in. Often independent Baptists get accused of being negative all the time. Well, the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of negative things in the Bible. Okay, you want me to be positive? I'll say this. And I'm positive that there are things we shouldn't do.
Amen.
There's positive for you. But not doing certain things, no doubt, is a part of the Christian life. There's things we shouldn't do, amen? I mean, the Bible's very clear about this, that we should not use the Lord's name in vain.
Amen.
We should not drink alcohol. We should not smoke. We should not use drugs. We should not listen to worldly music. We should not go to worldly places. We should not wear worldly clothing. On we could go. And we do, by the way.
Right.
You know, 8 of the 10 commandments are negative. Don't do this. Thou shalt not. Don't have any gods other than the true and living God. Don't make any graven images. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. Lots of don'ts there in the Ten Commandments. But there's another side to the Christian life. Not just the don'ts.
Right.
But the do's. There are things that you and I are commanded to do.
Amen.
That we are supposed to do. And too often we think that because we are not doing anything wrong, that we are doing everything right. And we forget that it's just as wrong to not do right as it is to do wrong.
Amen.
I'll say that again. I noticed some of you didn't get that. We forget that it is just as wrong to not do right as it is to do wrong.
Right.
Did you get it that time?
Amen.
Maybe I could. Anyway. You know, it's interesting as we look at this statement here in verse 27, this instruction that is given to us in these two verses, that in our text it states in a negative way a positive thing we're to do. Notice, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. So let's look at something here tonight that God tells us to do right. And ask ourselves, am I doing this? Am I doing these things that God wants me to do? And notice, first of all, number one, the principle explained. There's a principle here. God's word is filled with commands and principles. And here's a very important principle. He says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. When it is in the power of thine hand to do it.
Amen.
You see, the principle that's being taught here is very simple. When someone is due something, in other words, when someone deserves something from us, or when we owe someone something, when a person has every right to something that we have, and we have the ability to give it or provide it, God tells us here, do not keep it back from them.
Amen.
Notice again verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. So understand that this is a command from God to don't keep back something from someone that deserves it, and we don't do that, that means it's a sin.
Amen.
When we break a command, it is sin. Now there's a New Testament parallel verse to this truth in James chapter 4 and verse 17, where we read, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
It's sin. Probably a couple Sundays ago, we had Sunday school dealing with the parable in Matthew chapter 25. And you remember there were three servants that were given talents. One was given five talents. The other was given two. The other was given one. The first one had five talents. He made back five talents back. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that was given two talents, of course, made two back. And of course, same was said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the last one that had one did nothing with his talent. Didn't do anything with it. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And the Lord said of that servant that did nothing, in Matthew 25:26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now he was wicked and slothful because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And when we don't give someone something to which they are due, it's a sin. It's a sin. Now, I can think of at least three ways to apply this principle. Number one, or letter A, is this. We can apply this principle financially. Look over with me at Romans chapter 13, if you would please. Romans chapter 13, and I will expound a little bit on this. Romans chapter 13, and notice verse 8. Notice we read, owe no man anything. Owe no man anything.
Amen.
So let's take this principle and apply it. If we borrow money, whether that money be from a bank, or from a credit card company, or from a financial institution, or from the government, or from a family member, or a friend, money that someone loaned to us with the expectation of getting it back, by the way, that's what a loan is, and we do not pay it back, or even intend to pay it back, and we have the power to do it,
amen.
It's wicked.
Right.
It's evil. It's sin.
Right.
By the way, if you got a tax return or a stimulus check, let's say, make it a little bit closer to home for almost probably everybody. Or maybe some sort of inheritance check or estate check or something like that. Or maybe you sold something and made a large profit, or any profit for that matter, and you took that money and you used it to go on vacation or to go and buy something like a boat or a new car or an 86-inch television or a bedroom set or dining room furniture or living room furniture or perhaps an Apple Watch or perhaps the latest cell phone. That's at. I don't even know what the numbers are anymore. If you did that while there are people that you owe money to that you are not paying, I'm not talking about making monthly payments as agreed, then you violated this command.
Amen.
And you're sinning against God.
Right.
If you had the ability to pay them and you took that money and did something else with it, you're withholding something from someone that is their due.
Amen.
It's their money. Now, I don't believe it's a sin to borrow money. Although it's not a good thing. And you always become, according to Proverbs 22:7, you always become the servant. You actually become in bondage to some degree. You're the servant to the lender. I do believe, though, that it is a sin to borrow money and not pay it back when you can.
Amen.
You say, well, who does that? A lot of people. God forbid believers do it.
Amen.
Do you know after the 2008 housing bubble burst, how many lived through that? Right? I mean, financially you had to deal with it. Right here, I did too. We bought the house in 2007, then the bottom fell out on us. But after that 2008 housing bubble burst, do you know that many people that had jobs and could have paid their mortgages were simply walking away from them? They left them. Some of them even left with their arms full of stuff. The appliances, the fixtures, some of them even stripped the copper out of the houses and so forth. They could have paid, but they didn't. You see, that's evil. That's wrong. See, this is wisdom. Well, I don't understand why we're so much in debt in our nation. That's why. Let's take the wisdom from above here and understand what he's talking about here. Do you know the biggest financial crisis today is the student loan crisis? It's unbelievable. An article in the World Economic Forum said this. Americans have racked up a total of $1.5 trillion in student loan debt alone. By the way, that's 1 and 12 zeros. I was going to bring this big illustration of what the difference between a trillion and but it was just too complex and too time consuming. But let me just say this: it's a lot.
Amen.
1.5 trillion. And it goes on to say, more than one-third of severely delinquent debt in the country is a result of the growing pile of derelict student loans, which topped $89 billion. The sad thing is this, and this is true in many cases, not all cases, is that there are many people who can pay that aren't. They don't even consider it as part of a bill. They're not paying it. And by the way, the crisis has multiplied since Biden took office because people stopped paying in hopes that there would be some sort of forgiveness down the pipe real soon. So they said, well, it's not going to pay anything because it might be forgiven. So it's gotten a lot worse. Some say this, well, preacher, you don't understand. It's going to take me forever to pay off. So what? You borrowed it.
Amen.
You borrowed it. It wasn't a grant. When you borrowed it, you agreed to pay it back. Pay what is due.
Amen.
By the way, if you owe a family member money and you have the money to pay it, pay it back.
Right.
Pay it back. If you owe a friend money and you have the money to pay it back, pay them back.
Amen.
By the way, we left camp. A lot of people had some balances on things they did and they supposed to pay, send checks. I hope we all do that. I think we will. I trust we will. But don't let that slip by. We used stuff up there, and they were kind enough to say, hey, when you get back, just pay whatever you did, and we'll kind of do it that way. Pay it back if you have it. If you didn't have it, you shouldn't have went on the ride or whatever you went on. Amen? By the way, if you owe the Christian school money, pay it. If you have it, pay it. If you have the Bible Institute money, pay it! You know how often we have to chase people down for money that they committed to pay? Pay it back. If you are evading taxes, you're breaking this principle too. Might as well just go on. Why not? We're having fun tonight. Amen. You say, when's that special speaker come in? They're this Sunday. He'll be Pastor Fallon. He'll be nicer. That's true. If you're not paying your taxes and you have the money to pay it, and you're looking for ways to get out of it, you're breaking this principle. By the way, if somebody does work for you and you don't pay them for what they did, and they expect, you're breaking this principle. They work to pay them the money. By the way, don't be driving around in your new car and talking on your new iPhone or going on vacation while you owe people money you're not paying. It's not right. It's not right. When we owe someone money, make it good. As soon as possible. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it.
Amen.
So I think it applies financially. I also think, number two, or letter B, this applies verbally. Verbally. You know, if someone does a good job, if someone does something for you, it is our obligation, our absolute obligation, to not withhold good from them to whom it is due verbally. You say, what do you mean by that? When someone does a good job, tell them, hey, you did a good job. Don't withhold good from them that to whom it is due. When someone does something for you, hey, say thank you. And I know we don't do things for the good jobs and attaboys and that sort of thing. We shouldn't have to have that, but it's the right thing to do. To tell someone, hey, you did a nice job there. That was a blessing. Don't think, well, that doesn't need to be said. God says it does. Don't think, well, you know, it's understood. It just goes without saying. No, no. It is our obligation to say it if they deserve it. Now, don't be saying it when they don't deserve it. Someone does a bad job. Well, that was awesome. That's called lying. That's another sermon. Words are important. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. Words are powerful things. Don't think they're not. They can hurt people, they can help people, they can encourage people, they can damage people depending on how you use them, you and I use them. And if someone does good, tell them.
Right.
It's so encouraging to them because it's their due. It's amazing how many parents never compliment their children. Why not? You see, parenting is not only correcting when they've done wrong, it's also praising and encouraging them when they do right.
Right.
There's two sides to this thing. It's amazing how many spouses will never compliment their spouse. Oh, you weren't like that when you first met. Romeo. Where'd Romeo go? Oh, you look so beautiful today. Oh, I love that dress on you. Oh, you're so wonderful. Where'd all that go? Where'd it go? If it's due, it's something that don't withhold that good from them. You can make such a difference in another person's life, and so can I with our words.
Amen.
So we see we can apply this financially, we can apply it verbally. But then there's a third one, and that is spiritually.
Amen.
I know that we could say spiritually with the other two. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Do you know that we have a spiritual obligation to all men?
Amen.
We'll call it a gospel debt.
Right.
Romans chapter 1, notice, if I get there, Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul. Notice he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Notice, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice verse 14, I am debtor. I cannot withhold good for someone that needs this spiritual truth. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. That verse says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. They don't deserve it. Well, neither do you.
Right.
Neither do I. Might as well throw it out there. Neither does anybody.
Amen.
That's why we need to be saved. Nobody deserves to be saved. None of us do. But it is due them. Why? Because of the fact that they are lost.
Right.
And we must not withhold the gospel from people that need to be saved.
Amen.
By the way, we see them every day.
Right.
Every day. You see, the principle is this. When someone is due something, we must not withhold it. Question is, are we?
Good.
And often we do. How come? We're going to see that here in a moment. So number one, the principle explained. Number two, notice the problem we face. We read verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, Proverbs 3 we're at, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. So God tells us to do this. He says, don't withhold. Someone says, do good, and you have an opportunity to do right. Don't withhold that. But we do. Why? Why do we do that? If God tells us not to do it, when it's in our power and we can, why do we withhold that which is good? Why do we struggle to pay people what we owe them? Why do we struggle to give compliments to people that did a good job? Why do we struggle to give out the gospel to a lost and dying world? When they're on their way to hell, why do we struggle with that?
Amen.
I want you to notice two things about this problem. Letter A, the root of the problem. Why? If you're the enemy of this principle, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it's in thy power of thine hand to do it. The enemy of this principle is one thing. Self.
Amen.
Selfishness. Self-centeredness. You know the biggest problem with me is me. The biggest problem with you is you.
Amen.
Well, if they didn't do this and this didn't happen and she didn't do that and they didn't treat me that way, on and on the list goes. No, no, no. It's you.
Amen.
And it's me. You see, the chief concern that my flesh has is self. The guy that looks at me in the mirror. You see, after all, says the old man, why should I pay someone back when I can spend that money on myself?
Right.
When I can get that thing I wanted. When I can use it on me and get what I want. Well, why should I give someone a compliment or a word of encouragement when, well, they're not perfect. And what they did wasn't perfect. I mean, it could have been better. Besides, nobody compliments me when I do something good. I don't remember them saying anything to me. That's how we are, our flesh.
Amen.
You see, the root of why we do not apply this command is self. Self is on the throne. I think it was at camp that, go over if you would to 1 Samuel 25. I think it was at camp, in one of the men's sessions. Maybe what in the men's session. Do you remember when David came to Nabal? In 1 Samuel 25, he was a man that was rich, a man that had all kinds of things, all kinds of provisions. And David was on the run, was protecting and helping this man, protecting his sheep and all of that. And then he came, he sent men to Nabal and asked, could you help us? We need food, we need provision and all that. And Nabal was the epitome of that verse in Proverbs chapter 3. He had the ability and the substance to provide everything for him. And he said, no. No. Why? Well, I'll show you why. Look at verse 10 of 1 Samuel 25. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? There it is.
Right.
And Proverbs chapter 3. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it.
Amen.
It's all about him. Himself. Why don't you compliment, encourage people? Because it's all about you. Why don't you pay back what you owe? Because it's all about you. Why don't we give the gospel out to a lost and dying world? Because it's about you. Now, we don't say that. But that's the root of it. You see, self must die.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul, I'll talk more about this later, said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. Every single day, that flesh was wanting to be on that throne. Every single day, that flesh woke up thinking nothing but of themselves and what I want to do. And Paul said, I die daily.
Amen.
Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He crucified himself every day. And if we're going to obey this command, that's what we must do.
Amen.
Because the root of the problem is our Adamic nature, the me.
Amen.
In my life. No wonder the center of the word pride is the letter I.
Amen.
Me. So the root of the problem. Then also notice the reason or the excuse we give. So there's the root of the problem, but there's an excuse. Now there are many excuses that we use as to why we withhold good from those that it's due when we have the power to do it. I mean, our excuses are legion. But I would fair to say that because God put this one specific one in here, this is probably the one that we use most often. Look at verse 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. You see, the excuse that is dealt with in our text, an excuse that we use quite often, perhaps most of the time, is this. Well, it's just not a good time right now. Not a good time. It's called delay. When there is something that is due and we have the power to do it and we don't do it, the major excuse we use is this. Well, I just can't right now. I'll have to do that maybe later. And now is not a good time, or I just don't feel like it right now. Commentator Charles Bridges on the book of Proverbs said this of this verse. I like this phrase. He said, delay offends the law of love.
Amen.
And it does. You see, delay or procrastination or I will do it later or another time is simply a cover for rejection. Go and come back, or maybe later, or now's not a good time. When it's in our power to do it, is merely a cover. But somebody just don't want to do it. You see, we give that excuse in hopes that maybe the matter will be forgotten. Or maybe the matter will be dropped, or maybe someone else will take care of it, but not me. We'll say, well, I want to do that, or I mean to do that, and it's right to do it. And we say, just not now. I'll pay them back later, we say. I just need to get this new thing for myself now. I'll give them a compliment, you know, maybe another time, and maybe sometime later. Or I'll give them the gospel, when they're not so busy. Or we like to say, when the Lord opens the door. That's funny. God said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command.
Amen.
He didn't say, go preach when the door's open.
Right.
The door's always open.
There's
no wrong person to give the gospel to.
Amen.
So we say what verse 28 says. We say, well, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, but not now. The problem is later often never comes. The problem we face.
Right.
There's a third and final thing. Not only the principle explained, not only the problem we face, but let's think of this, the power God gives. You see, please understand that the way that the world deals with things and the way that a Christian deals with things is completely different.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in the world's philosophies. Well, they're not paying their student loans. Well, they default on bills. Well, all kinds of things we say. That's not the way the Christian is supposed to live.
Amen.
And remember that God enables us to be able to live the Christian life.
Praise Jesus.
He enables us to withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power, in the power of thy hand, to do it. He enables us to not make excuses. He enables us to do what is right. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
God gives us the power to fulfill His command and obey His word.
Amen.
How does He do that? Well, the first one is this, through salvation.
Hallelujah.
You see, salvation changes us.
Amen.
Go over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Notice verse 3. We read, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Titus 3:3, that's us before we were saved. But notice these next three words in verse 4. But after that,
amen.
After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Praise the Lord.
He changes us.
Hallelujah.
You see, when a person gets saved, God changes all of us that get saved.
Amen.
You see, this idea that we see so often today in these liberal churches of saying a prayer and nothing ever changes in a person's life is a counterfeit for true repentance and faith in Christ.
Amen.
Because it's God that changes us.
Hallelujah.
I mean, not wanting to talk about God and not wanting to come to church and not experiencing a changed life and not desiring to obey God is not what the gospel does when it's believed.
Amen.
When my wife and I got saved, they couldn't keep us out of church.
Praise the Lord.
We were wondering why they only had it 3 times a week or Sunday morning, Sunday and Wednesday, 2 days
Amen.
A week. We thought this was great. Why would we do this more?
Amen.
That's because God changed us. And He changed you as well if you're saved.
Hallelujah.
You see, nobody in the Bible ever stayed the same after getting saved.
Praise the Lord.
They all changed.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you remember in the book of Philemon how Onesimus, who had left Philemon and went to see Paul, and before he went to see Paul, he was with Philemon, he was unprofitable, but then he got saved when he was with the Apostle Paul, and Paul sent him back, and he said that he became, he's now profitable unto you?
Praise the Lord.
Why? He's changed, he's gotten saved, he's a new man. And you and I can't obey this command because salvation changes us.
Hallelujah.
Imagine the things you used to do that you don't do anymore. Praise God for that.
Praise the Lord.
And then opposite, or the flip side of that, things you do that you didn't do, like soul winning, going to church and Bible. How'd that happen? God changes us.
Praise the Lord.
And then letter B, the Holy Spirit empowers us.
Amen.
That's how we can do it. See, preacher, I can't. You mean I'm supposed to just say nice things? Yes. If they deserve it,
Amen.
When it's due, well, they know. They know it's in here. They don't know if it's in here. It's got to come out.
Amen.
And Zechariah 4:6 says this. Here's how we live the Christian life: not by might, meaning human might, nor by power, human power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, as you and I yield to the Holy Spirit of God, He enables us to obey every command that He gives. And we do it not because we have to, but because we want to.
Thank the Lord.
If we're yielded to Him.
Amen.
So back to our text, and we close. Read it again. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. When it is in thy power of thy hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee.
Amen.
You see, our lives, our words, our actions are a tremendous influence on others.
Amen.
Don't underestimate this. So I ask us tonight, are you withholding things from those to whom it is due? Financially? Verbally? Spiritually? If you and I yield to the Lord, He will enable us to obey this command.
Praise the Lord.
So that people just might see Jesus Christ in us, the wisdom of not withholding.
Amen.
That's great.